crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
And you're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, this Saturday morning, and good morning, men.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, the remnant, out there. And we'll go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. John, why don't we have you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we praise you, Lord, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the great price that your Son paid so many years ago just to save a wretch like me. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts this morning, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment regarding what's important for your people, the remnant, to understand and learn about. And so we ask for your direction. Lord, we do thank you for all of our many blessings. We thank you for the protection that you provide for us. We also thank you for our trials and our tribulations and testing, just as your word says that you use those things to refine us into the men and women that you want us to be. Your word says that you only test those that you love, and Father, that we're to be thankful for all things. So, Father, we just ask that we would hear you, the Lord, Lord, and that when we do, we would be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We continue to cry out for grace and mercy and compassion for your people who are called by your name in your wrath. And we ask that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Thank you for this time that you set aside on Saturday mornings for us believers, those that have been born again of the water and the Spirit, who have not only been called but chosen to be in a remnant of those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. Father, we know that that's your hand at work, and we thank you for that, but help us also to realize that with great reward comes great responsibility, and each one of us has a responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission, to share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ at every chance that we get, and not worry about the consequences, Father, because your word says that you will speak through us at the proper time, and you will protect us if we go boldly and speak boldly as we ought to speak as ambassadors in chains. Lord, your word says in Hebrews 1:14 that we can call upon you to send out myriads of angels, ministering angels, guardian angels, and warring angels, and we do just that, Lord. We ask that you send ministering angels out to those that can be reached, Father, those that may have believed a lie, those that may have been taken in by false prophets. Father, remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears and bring them to the place where they fall upon their face and they cry out and ask for forgiveness. Father, just grant them healing in mind, body, and spirit. Create a spirit of unity between your people, Lord. So many times we look for faults in each other just to tear each other down. Father, we know that we're too encourage one another to love and good deeds and so many of the things that people who call themselves Christians and followers of Jesus Christ fight about have nothing to do with salvation, just their own agendas. And Father, I ask that you forgive us for that and that you would just cause us to come together as one body, your body, as we fight the demonic forces of hell, spells and witchcraft. They're all over the land, Father. We see in the last days that, just as your word says in the parable of the wheat and the tares, that the tares would become bold and brazen, sticking their heads up and proudly flaunting their sin, Lord, just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Protect your people, Father. Grant us grace, mercy, and compassion. And we pray all these things in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen.
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 There's a lot of things going on right now, and I was encouraged. I listened to that song this morning, that Carl Klang song that we started off with, and it said, it was "We Want This Country Back," and Amen. That's a desire. That's something that we've got to want. And as I listened to the words of that song, I looked up the scripture and I was trying to find it, and thank goodness that. There's these concordances that are online now that you can find stuff a lot easier sometimes than you used to be able to.
Yeah.
But the scripture that I was looking for was Psalms 37:4, and it says, New American Standard says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And, I was thinking about that because, wanting this country back, that's a desire, that's a want, that's something that we need to have. And there's so many people that have become comfortable with the way things are, and they're happy with the things they are. Maybe they're successful, maybe they're going good for them, but they don't want to better it. They've become content with the way that things are. And you hear so many things out there. Well, it's better than it used to be, or it's not as bad as it could be. but it could be a lot better, you know. And that, you know, I read that scripture, Psalms 37:4, and I thought that's what we need to do. We need to, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and have him give us the desires of our heart. You know, and if the desire of our heart is to have this country back, that, I think that's a pretty good one to start with. You know, if you don't have that on your heart already.
Yeah, it's interesting that that came out, what, 25 years ago at least? And
yep.
Boy, how things have degraded, you know, from that point.
It is. It really is.
Was 25 years ago.
Yes, it certainly is. You know, and, you know, that's one of the things. It's you know, you have different walks of life and you have different ages of people and stuff. And, you know, what I've noticed is there's a lot of older generations that are older than me and my family. And they've got, you know, they have their children grown. And a lot of times when people get their children grown or when they get out of the house and stuff, then they, you know, they think they did their job and they think that they've accomplished what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I look around and it's, you know, these younger families too that are starting off and starting families right now. It's like every generation that we go through, it just seems like it's harder and harder and harder. You know, it's harder to have a Christian family. It's harder to raise your children, you know, away from the world, away from the ways of the world. And, you know, it's just like it's just a constant fight and it's an attack. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that way too. And it's like, you know, it would be, it'd be different if we were raising our children, you know, 100 years ago, you know, and, it's just changing times, but it just seems like it gets harder and harder and it's more of a fight. And, you know, you just can't let your guard down, at all anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, as parents, we have lots of choices that we need to make regarding bringing our children up right. And more you can tell that just recently, especially just within the last 5 years, that the public schools have decided basically just to be, you know, they've always been indoctrination bins, but the level of indoctrination has been increased exponentially. And, you know, the Agenda 21 stuff we talked about, what, 10 years ago or something, and the bottom line was Hillary Clinton was to be the closer of the fall of America to socialism, communism, the one world order that George Bush talked about in 1991. And
yes,
if you get a chance, you should look that up, because if you can't see the evil in his eyes and hear the evil in his voice of what the plan that they had was, but, you know, now it's Agenda 2030. And they see, you know, they're even, if you listen carefully, the demon rats are even basically boldly proclaiming that they understand that if Trump were to win another 4 years, then they can't recover with their New World Order agenda. And that's why they're pulling out all the stops. I mean, they're not even running on anything positive. If you look at our Congress, there's a reason they call it Congress and not progress. Pastor Peters pointed that out, and it's one of those profound things that's hidden in plain sight. But anyways, our Congress, they haven't accomplished anything. All they've done for the last 3 years is basically try to remove Trump.
Yes.
Any way that they
can. That's all they've tried to do.
Yep.
Yeah, muddy.
And you know what? They don't want to accomplish anything, because then Trump would get credit for something. They will not do anything that somehow could be construed as the president making progress, even though he's made a lot of progress behind, you know, without them. Personally, I believe by the grace of God, but I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen. I think right now we're given a window of opportunity to repent and turn back to God. Have we done that? Some have, but nowhere near the number that need to. The national revival and restoration, national repentance that needs to take place hasn't taken place. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. By no means is 2020 a sure shoot win, you know, for good versus evil, that good's going to triumph right now. And it's up to us as the Christian followers of Jesus Christ to continue to spread the truth that we've been given to all those that we can reach. And one of those things I think that's critical is those people who have voted Democrat all their lives, they need to understand that, you know, if you're voting Democrat, you're voting for the murder of the innocent children, and not even just the babies anymore. They want, you know, infanticide, to kill them after they're born. And, you know, they're not hiding any of that stuff anymore. And if you vote, you know, I know there's a lot of people in our ranks that say you shouldn't vote at all. Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that, because part of the reason we're in the situation we are is because for many years people didn't. And, you know, one of the reasons that we got this reprieve that we got, obviously it was God's hand and his grace and his mercy that allowed a president that they said couldn't win, that they pulled, you know, that they used all the dirty tricks that they could to foil from winning. But I think it's important that we, if you vote Democrat, then basically you're voting for Satan's agenda. That's it, period. And if you vote Republican, then you're voting for what we hope to be God's agenda. And I know a lot of people have trouble with that, but that's pretty much my position.
Yeah, I would agree. 100%.
But there's those in our midst that would stone you for dare saying to vote, you know, so it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, and voting, I mean, that was, the, you know, that's the way that a lot of things were set up from, you know, from basically the foundations of this country. You know, it worked for a while. You know, yeah, did they infiltrate it? Did they do this? Yeah, but you still keep fighting. So many people, they just give up and they don't want to fight, you know, and they don't think that this country's worth fighting for either.
Yeah. So what's the difference if you take that position that you can't do anything? Than those who say they're just waiting for the rapture. There's no difference. That's what I think the Holy Spirit revealed to me the other day. It was like, wait a minute. Here we are telling people that if they believe in the rapture and they're not doing anything, then they're wrong. But if we don't do anything, you know, that we lost this country in the cities and in the towns. That's where we lost the country first,
on a community level. Yep.
And things like that. That's where we lost it, because we didn't get involved anymore. We lost the school districts because we didn't get involved anymore. And let me tell you something. We that have the laws of God written on our heart, just as Pastor Peters used to say, we don't want to mess with anybody's life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness. But there are those that are not happy unless they are destroying your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The terrors that the Bible tells us that there are those that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, who come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But the churches have done a really good job over the last 50 years getting people to believe that Jesus loves me, and that's all that matters, is that Jesus loves everybody, and everybody's going to go to heaven. We're all the same. Well, no, I've got news for you. That ain't what the Bible says.
Yeah, and well, and, you know, and what have they done? They've gotten everybody to believe that, number one, that's what happens when you take away the law. When you get rid of the law, if there's no law, there's no condemnation. Then you're not guilty of anything, because the law's been done away with.
Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, that's one of the roots of the major evils that we see in the churches. If there's no, if you get rid of the law, you get rid of sin, and there is nothing, then there is no sin.
Right, because the definition of sin is the transgression of God's law.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, behind the scenes, these demon rats are talking about basically releasing all the prisoners out of the jails. I mean, it's you know, total anarchy is what they want. But they want to reduce this country, America, which means heavenly kingdom, by the way, to a third world country.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's the complete entitlement of everyone and the redistribution of wealth. And, you know, it's the old communist name, 1984. And I think one of the interesting things is I think that there's a backbone of God's people yet in this country that are just like when Trump was elected, that was a, you know, an earth-shattering, earth-shocking, miraculous situation. And I think that those people are there, and I think it kind of goes back to Deuteronomy 32:11, where we see that like an eagle that stirs up its nest, we talk about that verse, and that stirring up that nest is the renewal of the power of God as we see it, you know, go on. And I think that they continue to publicize vomit the news out from the mainstream, lamestream media that, oh yeah, the demon rats have got it all in hand, you know, and it's all going their way. And I think that's that stirring up that God's doing. As people see that, they work harder, they're waking up, there's those things going on. And of course there's always more to wake up and more to stir up, but I think we're seeing some of that go on out there across our land, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely an awakening that took place at that time. But, you know, government-wise, a lot of things have changed. But the sad thing is, in higher education, which we have to remember for 30 years now, has educated teachers all the way down to preschool, for that matter, in their corrupt socialist, communist, antichrist way of thinking. Because whether you realize it or not, the farther your child wants to go in higher education, it's basically they're just educating them away from God. I would say that there's very few probably PhDs that even believe in God anymore, because that's their agenda. But I've seen just recently in higher ed, their agenda has been moved up, and it's on steroids now. I mean, this social justice thing is basically what's going on with President Trump right now. You make the accusation, and they're guilty with no proof. And that's what they're trying to do right now. What they're trying to do is they've realized that the 3-year or 2-year Russia hoax investigation that turned up nothing. Now what they're going to do is they make the charges, and they're going to have the trial with no evidence, no witnesses, and you can't even defend yourself, by the way. And that's social justice, if you look at the definition of it. And because we say you're guilty, then we're going to remove you from office. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to end well for them. Minnesota, that state, it's sad because it was a beautiful European nation state, and that's why they targeted it with millions of Somalis to destroy it, which they pretty much have done in parts of it. But President Trump held the rally there in Minneapolis, and the mayor did everything he could to foil the plan for that rally, adding like $500,000 in charges for security, supposedly. But, you know, the thing about Trump is he just say no, period, just like Dad used to tell us. Pretty easy, just put your tongue on the top of your mouth and let it roll out, you know?
Yep.
And anyways, but there was I don't know how many, you know, they say thousands, I'd say probably 100 or less, of protesters that were physically attacking the supporters of the Trump rally as they left the rally. And of course, they'd wait till there was one or two or a small family or something like that, and then surround them and just physically and verbally abuse them. But I got news for them. That's not going to end well. You can only push an Israelite so far. You can only push a European so far. And but I think that's their goal as well. You know, they want civil war. And it's creeping up, I think.
I believe so, too. I believe so as well.
I don't know if you saw this week. Tim can probably elaborate quite a bit more on this, as he actually holds a license. But California officials declared that ham radio is no longer a benefit. Demands that ham radio repeater infrastructure be removed. Now, think of the significance of that. Number one, ham radio is about the only thing that does work when everything goes to hell, because it doesn't take a whole lot of power just to generate the ham radio. But these are people who are patriots, who have hundreds of dollars of equipment, not millions or not thousands even. And a lot of them, they built their own stations. They put up antennas, and the goal is to provide communication in areas in the event that the whole, you know, the grid goes down or something like that. And, you know, of course, the government's come up with their new and latest and greatest replacement for that, and says that it's outdated and they don't need it anymore. But these people, on their own dollar, they bought the equipment, or they built the equipment, and they put up these stations, and it doesn't cost the government a dime. And these people do this as a service. I think there's a network of those people who keep in touch, and they take care of each other and support each other, and with parts and whatever else that they need. But the fact that, number one, California's got these rolling blackouts right now, that they pretty much declared martial law in some areas, and now they want to take away their means of communications.
Yep.
Not even just within the state, but, you know, if something happens in the state, those ham radios can reach anywhere in the world. In the event of, oh, I don't know, maybe an invasion, you know, which they've been talking about for the longest time, as far as through California, either the Mexican border or whatever. But I think that's significant, that they're publicly coming out and telling, they want to pass a law that if you have a ham station that you built, that you have to dismantle it and make it inoperable. Now, seriously, can you even imagine, getting to that point and not thinking that there's something evil there? And the new system that they come up with, that they spent, looks like $47 billion setting it up across the country, is basically a cell phone network that requires the cell phone towers to be in service in order for this system to work. But, you know, that would be the government's way of fixing a problem that isn't a problem.
Yes, it's true. And one of the things that I laughed about in some of the articles I was reading was one of the letters sent by Cal Fire. The state claims that ham operators no longer provide a benefit to the state or public safety. And that's,
yeah, I saw that.
Really, if you distill that down, that's what they're saying. Forget the betterment of people as a whole. They're not protecting the state enough. That's what it really is about. And I couldn't help but think when I read that whole thing that evil communications corrupt good manners. And I know we use that verse a lot of times to iterate the people you hang out with. But there's also communications like news and, those sort of things that go out there. We talk about the mainstream media. We talk about those sort of things. And they're corrupted. I mean, there's not a filter on those ham radio operator guys. They say what they think. They're fairly independent people, and they're intelligent people for the most part. And, they're concerned about their neighbors and public safety, the public good and trying to help out. And time again, it's been proven that when everything else doesn't work, and you already said that, John, this works. I mean, you can run your ham rig with a 12-volt battery or with a solar panel, or it's highly portable, and it works, so.
But it's one thing that they can't shut down, and that's what
exactly.
They don't. It's one thing that they don't have control over. They have control over the landlines. They have control over cell phones. They have control over the internet. They have control over all means of communication except for ham radio, and that's why they're targeting it. this is basically by a state that currently shut down power in 34 of its counties, claiming that the infrastructure, the power infrastructure, can't handle 20 to 30 mile an hour winds and without a risk of breaking out additional fires. And I don't know if you saw, but there's a fire outside of L.A. right now that just, it's pretty much out of control. Just fires.
Yeah, and I've seen that. And then the other interesting thing is when they had that power outage, too, that's when those fires emerged. And there's some people that got some pretty good video footage of it, too, that say that those fires were all started by an airplane flying over, shooting a laser down, starting the fires.
And, I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I can't confirm it or, you know, deny it, but it's there's some really good information out there that is pointing that direction, too.
Yeah, well, you think about it. You cut out power, that means you got no fire pumps working. You got,
yep.
You know, no sprinkler systems are going to function. They're diabolic. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and one of the things, too, that, you know, that was interesting is even during all those fires and stuff, and when we had the fires out here in Colorado, you know, just outside of La Porte, Colorado, it was the ham radio operators that they're the ones that came in and ran all the communication because all the towers had burned up, and they'd set up portable repeaters, and they were the only ones that were able to communicate between the firefighters, the ground crews, the evacuation crews, the medical crews. That was the only way to communicate. I mean, and that this is on a small scale. You know, this was here locally, but in these mountains and everything that we've got around here and in the valleys, the radios that the sheriff's department was using and the fire department was using and everything would not they couldn't communicate. You know, and that's when they had they brought in the volunteers from the local ham radio club. And they brought out their trailer and set up a command post and ran all the communications. So it's it's something that was vital to this situation. And it's always been communications has always been extremely important. You look at it's amazing how many people that you talk to that are retired from World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and they were communications operators. You know, that's what their job was. And that was, a huge part of any military operation is communication.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people say it's conspiracy theory too, but bottom line is those fires outside of La Porte, they burned out a lot of people in the canyons, and those people in the canyons were people who weren't on the grid, and those people in the canyons were people who basically didn't follow any of the ordinances or any of the laws, and they have to get rid of those people. One of the guys I know who lives up there was a mason, as far as a masonry contractor, and he built his house out of stone and concrete, and he went up there to fight to protect his house, and they wouldn't let him up there, and he actually went around them. And went up there and took some trees down and drug them off and defended his house, to the point where they knew not to mess with him. And he saved his house. But he'd tell you point blank that those fires were set, and they were set on purpose just to drive those people out of there.
Yep.
Because now... Yeah. People who had that land, who really own it based on water's rights or whatever it was, some of this stuff could probably be generations passed on. Basically, when they went to try to conform to the building codes and all of that, they won't give them permits, period. Basically, you're too close to a stream or you're too close to a road or you don't have enough land to put in a septic system, this and that. And I bet there's 50% of the people who used to live up there and lived up there for years that could not rebuild.
Yep.
Probably more than 50%.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
But it's hard for people to grasp how evil this agenda this agenda is, and it's not just a anti-American, anti-patriotic agenda. It's an anti-Christ agenda, period. It's Satan's agenda. It's good versus evil, period. That's where we're at.
Absolutely.
Tim, what do you see going on in the world? Any news stories that jumped out at you that you want to talk about this morning?
Well, I had that radio thing, and there's some pretty interesting stuff there with, I thought it was interesting too that Trump was basically told the UN to go pound sand. They were wanting more money. And, I really, it makes me appreciate him. You know, I just been like, awesome.
Yeah, that was basically, was that the one that they were, when they were asking for money?
Yeah, yes. 20 yes. billion.
Yeah, whatever. Some number that means, you know, it's like, whatever, I can't comprehend those kind of numbers, but, he's just like, I don't think so. So, I just, I appreciate his, that's like, you know, they poke fun at him all the time because he tweets and different things like that, but given the control of the media and everything and the way they try to steer the narrative constantly, I think it's just interesting that he finds alternative ways. He does these many news conferences wherever he is, and I appreciate the way he gets in between. Oh, you fake news. Yeah, you, well, bad news. It's just like, thank you, Lord. Someone, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. You know, I mean, it's just like, I enjoy, let's call a spade a spade. But they want to put us into these little cubicles. And I was thinking about that the other day, the tiny house movement. And I don't know about you guys, but it has irritated me since it first came out. And the reason is because when I read my Bible, it doesn't square with my Bible. I read about these tiny houses, and it's like, yeah, you can live in, you know, 120 square feet, and which is not much bigger than a lot of prison cells, you know, and they want to move everybody into those things, and I look at that and see it's just another word for gulag, and under God's way of doing things, we live unfettered and free, but like we've already been talking about today, they can't do that. But I'll take God's way. I did see that they've also got some Satanism going on at the U.S. Naval Academy. You know, they're trying to get these theistic Satanists. They've pretty much already taken over the Air Force Academy, so now they're after the Naval Academy. And that's one of those things when we look at that, we see them sticking their heads up higher and higher. And I just pray that they'll be exposed and cast down. So when I see that kind of stuff, but
yeah, the other thing that's going on is basically all of the demon rat candidates are boldly proclaiming that they're 100% behind the LGBTQ, soon to be P, by the way, pedophile, and they're already working on that. In fact, in California, imagine that. By reclassifying that, I can't remember exactly what they call it, but some kind of attraction to minors or some stupid thing that they're trying to reclassify pedophilia. But not only that, I think three of the major demon rat candidates came out and said that they were, if they get elected, the first thing they're going to do is remove the 501c3 tax-exempt status for religious organizations that oppose gay marriage. And, I mean, the reality is you don't need a 501c3 approval from the state. In fact, when you allow the state to be the head of your church, then you remove Jesus Christ as the head of your church, in my opinion. But, you know, what could they do if all the churches said, well, guess what, we're not going to support gay marriage, and we're going to hold on to our tax-exempt status. We're not going to pay tax. There's nothing they can do. And they know that. I don't know if you saw, you guys probably saw it, but that national ban on bump stocks, you know, there's 500,000 of them in existence or something like that. And only 1% of the people turned them in. And, you know, we forget about stories. I think it was a year or two ago, remember, in Pennsylvania where they passed that law about...
mandatory gun.
mandatory turn in your assault, quote, assault weapons by a certain date or you'll face, you know,
criminal
$10,000 fine and jail time and everything else. And it was like less than 5%, probably like 1% or 2% of the people actually turned them in. And then the threats got even greater, you know, 10 years in jail and $500,000 fine. And nobody, they're like, whatever. And, but then you don't hear nothing about it anymore because, well, you know, they don't know what to do. They really don't know what to do if people stand up and they say, no, we're not going to do it. Well, what do you mean? You have to. That's their response, you know. Well, you have to. It's the law. Well, it's my law. God's law. It supersedes your law. So deal with it, you know. I think it's funny. It's like a bunch of crybabies is what they are.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, and it was interesting with that when they started coming in and when they were asking, I'm going to jump back just a minute, but when what I read too is when they were asking Trump for money for the UN, that it interesting thing that I saw about that is they said that between, it was over three quarters of the people that owe money to the UN have not paid their dues. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of money. According to the UN, one-third of all of its members are delinquent in paying their dues to the UN this year. That includes the United States, which funds between a fourth and a third of the UN's overall budget, compared to communist China's meager 8%. In exchange, the regiment in Beijing runs almost one-third of all UN specialized agencies, while the American...
Yeah, that's significant.
Yep, American runs one out of the 15. So it's, you know, this, it, you know, maybe the, you know, everybody's promising to pay later on in the year, but, you know, praise God, maybe the UN's going down.
Yeah. Well, remember Trump came out originally and said that the UN needs to be defunded and dismantled.
Exactly.
And if you look at who's running it now, I forget the guy's name, but it's, must be a relative of Gutierrez or something like that, that jackass that's some sort of, I think he's a representative. But anyways, he is, you know, a devout socialist communist. So Trump says, I'm tired, you know, we're tired of funding an organization that basically its desire is to take away America's rights and to support countries that commit genocide.
Yep.
Yeah, they continually praise evil while they basically, yeah, you know, do everything they can to yank the rug out from any Christian or group that is trying to promote Christian values. I mean, they are like one of the supreme antichrist outfits out there. So,
yeah, I don't know. Stuff. This was pretty significant in my opinion, but. A 12-year-old girl who pointed her fingers in the shape of a gun. I mean, this happened in Colorado a few years ago, too, but they just suspended the kid. But here, this 12-year-old girl who pointed her fingers in the shape of a gun at school classmates was handcuffed and arrested. Kansas City Star reported, must have been in Kansas City, the student at West Ridge Middle School in Overland Park, Kansas, pointed at four classmates at one time and then turned the pretend weapon towards herself. School officials wouldn't comment on that, but basically what they're saying is it's a zero-tolerance policy for weapons of any kind or anything that threatens anyone's existence or anyone, you know, if they feel threatened, then it's basically zero-tolerance. So what are they doing? They're teaching these kids that even, you know, your two fingers formed in the shape of a gun is dangerous and, you know, that they need to take that away. So,
absolutely. Wow. Well, and we come down to the fact that when crazy people are making those kind of rules, and that's what they are, they're crazy. I mean, because it's just, and when they make those kind of rules, that it's not very long, and if somebody looks at you funny, you're feeling threatened, you know, I mean, you can feel threatened. What if you're having a bad day and you feel threatened just because somebody shows up? So it's all totally whimsical as far as how that kind of stuff goes, you know. So
yeah,
no basis, concrete anything.
This says the rest is part of the zero tolerance concept implemented in public schools across the nation. The report noted that 4 years ago in Colorado, a first grader was suspended for forming his fingers into the shape of a gun and pointing it at a classmate. And a similar incident took place in Columbus, Ohio that year. But
she's been advised that she could face up to a year in a juvenile detention center if convicted.
Probably why she went to live with her grandparents. Probably won't go back. But, you know, in reality, at some point, hopefully, parents will wake up, get smart enough, and realize that you need to pull your kids out of these public schools, period. I mean, there's still some schools that are decent, you know, in the small towns that they haven't got to yet. But, don't think that they don't plan on targeting those schools as well. So, parents, you need to stay involved if you do have your kids in public school, especially, you know, they're passing agendas that we don't even know about regarding mandatory classes on homosexuality and methods and transgenderism and how you know, it's just, it's sickening is what it is.
You sound like a conspiracy theorist.
What's that, Jake?
Nothing. No, it's talk about different times. So what else is going on?
Yeah, but you know, our God's still on the throne.
One of the one of the other interesting things that kind of left me a little bit not really surprised, because I already kind of knew those kind of things, but a lot of this new technology that they come up with that's supposed to be the first and last name and everything, and they talk about these wind generators and the great big white long arm ones, and they had a bunch of them blow down, and I think that was in somewhere over west. I can't remember where, just off the top of my head, but they were talking about the disposal fees on those. They were damaged, and it cost about, if I recollect correctly, it's about $100 million more to dispose of them than it did to put them up.
That's real efficient, then, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like, you know, you just shake your head. You can't even fathom. I mean, which is what happens when government gets into trying to make things work. It's just crazy how it works. They have no conceptualization of cost and profit margins or of, you know, gains or losses. It's just somebody else's money. And basically, the life expectancy on those big wind generators is they won't even pay for themselves by the time they're wore out. And then it's going to cost more to get rid of them than it does to put them up. So, it's just like...
Sounds like cash
Yes, exactly. That whole thing's kind of like, wow.
Well, you know what's funny is you can say what you want, but a lot of the people in California, you know, they used to make fun of the blondes from California and stuff. But bottom line is these people, they spent, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars putting in solar panels on their homes and all this stuff. And they think, well, one of the benefits is that if the power goes out, that I'll be good to go. Well, bottom line is unless you put in a large battery bank and an inverter and... you ain't going to have nothing, and they're finding that out. And the other thing is that all these people that have been driving electric cars and Teslas and all that, they got their cars plugged in, and they can't figure out why they won't drive. It's almost comical when you look at I saw a news interview of people who had their Teslas plugged into these supercharging stations, you know, and they really can't figure out that, well, I had it plugged in all night. I can't understand, you know. They can't understand why their cars won't go. It's comical. but in a way, they're shutting down the power and all that. It's kind of a wake-up call for a lot of people that, isn't still keeping my food from going bad in my refrigerator and my freezer? And how come I can't go anywhere? And how come I can't even turn on a LED light bulb in my house with this $100,000 worth of solar I put on? And, you know, I looked into it to put in solar, not for any environmental reasons, but basically for cost savings reasons. And also for, you know, if you can put in a solar with enough battery bank and inverter, then you can be pretty much off the grid as long as there's, you know, some sort of solar power being absorbed by your panels. But to put in 20 kW, which literally gives you, I think it was a 40-amp circuit, it was over $60,000 with the battery bank and inverter and everything that you need. And 40 amps ain't going to run a whole lot. I got news for you.
No, that's true. Because when you do that, you've got, you know, basically most houses have at least a minimum 100 amp coming into the panel to run the place. And a lot of places,
right,
if you're heavy on this, you'll have 200 amps. So 40, not very much.
Well, I mean, even if you have a well or something like that, you know, 40 amps probably won't even run that. It depends on, you know, if you set it up and it's 220. But bottom line is you pretty much need about 60 amps to run the bare minimum of what you want to survive. If you have a freezer, which most of us do, and you have a refrigerator, and you have if you have a well, or if you have a sewage ejection pump or whatever it is. So it was kind of comical. The guy's trying to sell me on this system, and it's, you know, 60 grand to put the solar panels on. And the funny thing was that you need to have that 20 kW. And if you don't have that much facing west or south, they'll put them in. They'll put them on the north side. They'll put them on the east side because it's all a bunch of whores trying to make money. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If you want to put solar panels on the north and the east side of my house, that's not going to get any sun except for in the morning. That was a big red flag, in my opinion, right there. Just to
it don't work
to get
that way.
The levels that I would. What's that?
It don't work that way.
No. So that was a big red flag, in my opinion, to look at that and say, "Well, wait a minute. These guys are just—they're just sell you whatever you know you're willing to pay for." The bottom line, and I just thought it was kind of comical that these people are literally looking at their Teslas that are plugged in, and they can't figure out why they won't go.
That is very funny. Well, man, we are just about out of time. Any closing thoughts this morning?
No, you just probably want to invite people to church.
And that's what we want to do. We want to invite people to church. Folks, we'd like to invite you to church. We'd like to invite you to come to church in the privacy of your own home by going to www.scriptures4america.org. Tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, we're going to have a message for you. And we encourage you to join us through satellite, shortwave, through streaming on the Internet. We'll be there in all ways, shapes, and forms, and encourage you to join us. We'd like to get you there. And also want to tell you folks that go to the website, scriptures4america.org, and go to the cart. We've got added a lot of new things onto the cart as of late. We've got a resource center there with some really good books, health products, vitamins, minerals, books that you can't get anywhere else. And there's also a donations page up there on the top right-hand side. You can donate there. Remember that it takes your donations, your tithes, your support of the faithful to keep these radio broadcasts going out over the airways. And we need that support to keep these messages going out. So keep that in mind. And folks, we thank you for tuning in to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Got an advertisement here for you. It's a Roots DVD mix that we have had available, made available to the Remnant for a long time. And if you haven't got it, you should order it. Good day, folks.
Gift to give you of tremendous value, a gift that can change your life and open your eyes to the inside of world events and the present happenings in America. Listen on. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Heard worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on satellite, at the website www.scripturesforamerica.org, and on radio. This tremendous outreach is made possible by the prayers and financial support of the faithful. If this includes you, we would like to send you this special gift of a 90-minute DVD entitled Roots, From Abraham to America. It's a part trailblazing TV program with Pastor Peters and fearless famed historian and archaeologist E. Raymond Capps, bringing history and a key to the kingdom, truth, that is purposely and maliciously being kept from you and your children. Truths concerning the biblical roots of the white people who settled America. In the 1960s, the question asked by a troubled generation of Caucasian children was, "Who am I?" This DVD gives the answer, back with proofs, archaeological evidence, and maps you can get nowhere else. Get this free gift by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Ask for the Roots DVD. It's our way of saying thank you to those of you who support this Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Get it while you can, this free, life-changing, eye-opening, mystery-solving DVD, Roots, From Abraham to America. You have nothing to lose and only truth to gain.